leaving, and we do trust that our time together will be helpful and it will be a time of blessing. I just want to read one verse from the Word of God, and that's found in the first letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and the verse I want to read, a well-known verse, is verse 15. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we trust that God will give help this evening as we explore the significance of that verse. Over the years, I've preached on this verse a number of times. One of the times I read this verse and spoke from it, there was a young lad, age 7, sat in the meeting, and as a result of the preaching of the gospel from this verse, he trusted the Saviour. Now that was well over 30 years ago. And today he's baptized, he's in fellowship in a company of God's people, and serving the Lord in the place where God has placed him. I see there are some young folk here this evening. I don't know what age they are, but if a 7-year-old can be saved from the reading of the Word of God, then there's not a person in the company this evening that cannot also be saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Number of questions are raised as we read the verse, because the language is quite old and not language that is in common use today. But it starts off, this is a faithful saying. What that simply means is this, that it is something that you can rely on. It is something that you can completely trust. It's something that is unchanging in its usefulness. It's something that will never change. Now, those who are older will be already rather bored with the upcoming general election. And we are getting all kinds of politicians making tremendous commitments and promises, and everyone knows that they'll never be able to keep one of them. And in fact, if you were to give them an honesty test, which would be interesting, wouldn't it? I doubt that they have any intention of keeping the promises. All they're interested in is getting into number 10 Downing Street, I suppose in a local case in Bute House in Edinburgh. But this is a faithful saying. It's absolutely true. It is, the truth of it has been proven over many, many years, many centuries. And the message that we're going to hear tonight, as you hear every Sunday evening from this very platform, has never changed. And though many scriptures are read, and all of them very relevant and very important and very valid, the summary of them all is this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Now, if somebody says to you, it's your birthday, here's a present, You don't take it and say, I give you my acceptation. It's not a word we use today. But basically, it is a word that you can rely on, you can trust, and because of that, it is something solid and dependable, and it is something that we should take to heart. And all of that is because what we have before us is the Word of God. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So the next question we need to ask is, what does it mean that Christ Jesus came into the world? Who was he anyway? And why did he come into the world? And how did he come into the world? And when did he come into the world? Well, less than 2 months ago, been through the annual procedure of Christmas, and while the original significance of it has largely been lost today, it is to bring awareness of the fact that the Son of God was born in Bethlehem. He was born in a unique way. Sarah, Abraham's wife, she had a baby when she was about 90. Now that was a miracle birth. That was unnatural. That was the result of God's intervention. We think of John the Baptist in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and Elizabeth, his mother, had John when she had been unable to bear children, but God intervened and she had a child. And all of those were miracles. But God, Christ Jesus, came into the world. And that wasn't just a miracle. It was absolutely and totally unique. And the Old Testament tells us. And that's interesting in itself, that that many, many, many years, centuries before the event, a prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And of course, he will be called Emmanuel. That is, God with us. The Lord Jesus, when he came into the world in a unique way, a way that would never happened before and never happened since and never will happen again, the Lord Jesus was born. He came into this world. And while the manner of his conception was unique, when he grew up, he grew through all the stages of life. We have many of the stages of life here. We have children here. And he was a child. He was a baby. He was an infant, he was a child, he was a youth, he was a teenager, and he was a full-grown man. And what made him different to all of the other children that have been born into the world is that he was not a sinner. He came into the world to save sinners. But he himself was sinless. The sinless, perfect Son of God. Now he went around, and the writer of the Acts records that he went about doing good. Now there's a lot of people in the world today that do good. We've had in the media over past weeks of selfless nurses and doctors have gone to countries where this awful disease of Ebola is current, and they're prepared to risk their own lives. And some of them have forfeited their lives doing good, trying to help. And there are many institutions, charitable institutions, that try to relieve the problems of the world, and they're all doing good works. But the Lord Jesus, when he came into this world, he came to do a supreme and a unique work that only he could do. He came to save sinners. And he went about doing good. And we read of occasions when he came into contact with lepers, and none of the folk would dare to have any contact because of the contagious character of the disease. But he was able to cure them. He was able to cure the lepers. Came into contact with blind people who were outcasts of society because they couldn't take their place as supporting their own lives and their families, dependent totally upon charity, and people just dismissed them as irrelevant. The Lord Jesus heard their cry for help, and he gave them their sight. In fact, there's one case where it appeared that the blind man had not even eyeballs in his sockets, but he made a clay and he put it, and the man received his sight. He went about doing good. There were folk very troubled one day because they were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there were tremendous storms. A tremendous storm arose, and it put hardened seamen in dread for their lives. And the Lord Jesus was in the same boat with them, calmly asleep at the stern of the boat. And they woke him up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were convinced that they were going to be drowned at sea. The Lord Jesus stood up and he spoke, and he said, "Peace, be still." Says the scripture, immediately there was a great calm. You're not far from the sea here, so you will have no doubt at times seen storms, and the winds have raged and the waves have beat upon the shore, and then the wind drops, but the waves continue coming. And it may be hours, it could even be days before the calm returns. The Lord Jesus spake and there was a great calm. None of that fulfilled what we read here. He could not save sinners by just pronouncing and making an pronouncement, because God is a holy God. And the presence of sin, of sinfulness, would be irrelevant if it wasn't for a holy God. There's a God in heaven who takes account of every one of us, all that we do, day and daily. And there's not so much as a thought passes through our minds, but that is known to him. And we're all sinful. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, we need to understand what the apostle meant when he came into the world to save sinners. Now, it may be that in the Leven is a very respectable town, and maybe there are some very good living people here, and righteous people, self-righteous at least, and if you were to say to them that you're a sinner, they would be quite offended. Or they can understand that the person who is cruel to children, the person who breaks into people's houses and steals things, yes, I can understand that they're sinners. But I want to tell you who else is a sinner tonight. When we were first married, and it's a long time ago now, for well over 40 years, had very little idea about how to hang wallpaper on walls, had a job even painting. I still am reminded from time to time of the first job I did. It was a new house, and there were little cracks in the between the window ledge and the window. And I thought, well, what we'll do is pour some paint in and keep brushing it, and that fills. And of course, the paint just went down, and I had to learn that that's not the way to paint. And there are some very kind of funny stories about hanging wallpaper as well. One of the things I turned my hand to was gardening. Surely you can't go wrong with gardening. We thought we would have some fruit trees. So we went along to a nursery. They weren't called garden centres in those days. That's how long ago it was. They were nurseries. And we went along and we said we want an apple tree to plant in the garden. So the man said, well, come with me. I'll show you a range. We've got some really good quality ones. And there we came, and there he presented me with this stick sticking out of the pot. And I said, no, sorry, you're not listening. I want an apple tree. I said, well, where are the apples? He said, well, there aren't any. So I said, like I said, I want an apple tree. Well, he said, actually, this is an apple tree. You take it home and plant it in the garden, and you put some manure in, and you look after it and tend it, and it will grow. And it will sprout leaves, the leaves that you'd expect to see on an apple tree. And then after a couple of years, maybe three, you will find little apples forming. I've heard some ridiculous things in my life, but how could that bunch of twigs there produce apples? Ah, well, he said, deep inside that wood, there is the nature of an apple tree. And it will produce apples if you plant it and watch it and protect it from pests and all kinds of things. It will eventually grow apples. Now it's just like you and me. We were born, and I can imagine that all of us at one time were beautiful little bundles of joy. The pride and joy of our parents, and they held us and said, what a beautiful child. Now I can see there's some very good parents here this evening. We did our best to be good parents, and I can tell you one thing, that we have three children, and not ever did we teach them how to sin. We never taught them to tell lies. We never taught them to lose their temper. We never taught them to take things that didn't belong to them. And long before they had contact with the world, I would tell you a story, but I'd better not because my wife's here, but I will anyway. We had a little girl first, and she was our pride and joy. Just a little thing. And we laid her on the rug in the lounge, or I laid her on the rug in the lounge, and she had a little toy, and she was playing happily with it, so I took it off her. And she put it away from her. She reached out and got it back. Well, I suppose I'd be in jail now for child abuse, but I took it again and just put it a little bit further away. And she reached out and got it again. And I put it a bit further away. You see, what I was trying to see is if she had developed her mother's temper. And sure enough, out it came. Now, we never taught her to lose her temper, but you see, that is the product of a sinful nature. And we all have it, every one of us. Now, we had to live in Australia for a while. We flew over halfway over the world, the other side of the world, And we flew over a lot of countries, representing a lot of religions or no religion. And you know, we never flew over a single person that was not a sinner. There's not a person in the world. The scripture tells us that there's not a righteous person in the world that doesn't sin. We've all sinned. And as we grow up and we're protected and we're hedged around as children, and we're corrected when we do things that we shouldn't do, the defiance and the rebellion, the little untruths that we tell, it's all sin. Let's go back to our verse now. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As a young fellow, I must have been in my late teens, very enthusiastic, and we went around the suburb of Southampton, where I was brought up, knocking on doors and engaging people in conversation. Well, I knocked on this door, and this lady came to the door, and I must have said something offensive, because she rejected totally the idea that she might be a sinner. Death. How do you deal with this? You never told a lie? No. You've never stolen anything? No. You've never had wrong thought? No. And then I got a bit of inspiration. I said, I tell you, you must be really proud of that. And she said, yes I am. And I said, well, you know, Christ is sin. We're all sinners. We can't escape it. It is an established fact, stated continually in the Word of God, the Bible, and proven in our own experience. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, he could heal the sick. He could even raise the dead. But it needed the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus died in intense agony. Why? Because he loved sinners like you and me. Now, we can sometimes look at people that have offended us one way or another, or sinned against us, and sometimes we don't find them very lovely. But God in his greatness looks down upon a world of sinners, and the Lord Jesus, this is his own words in John chapter 3, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, the result of sin is a simple one. It will keep us out of God's heaven for all eternity. God cannot have anything that is contaminated by sin in his heaven. It must be dealt with. I'm going back to my childhood. When you're nearly 70, you do that, don't you? Or you wouldn't know. When I was a little boy, somehow I was a magnet for dirt. And I would play out in the garden, and I would be gloriously muddy and happy from hair on my head to my feet. Mud all over me, all over my clothes. And then the back door would open, and my mother would be standing there. And none of you knew my mother, she was a scary lady. And she would call out, tea time, come in. So we'd light our food, so we'd rush to the door, and there she stood, arms akimbo, and she said, you're not coming into my house like that. you go and clean yourself up, and then you can come in and have your tea. And so, with a little bit of scrubbing, and she didn't show a lot of mercy when she was scrubbing us kids. Probably got still some of the scars from the scrubbing brush. And she used to scrub us till our skin shone, and when she couldn't inflict any more pain, we'd be sat at the table and tea would be set before us. That was the point. The point is this, and I suppose I ought to add, after all I've said about the dear lady, she's in heaven now. She did love us. She really did love us. And when she said, "You're not coming into my house," it wasn't, "You're not coming into my house." What she said was, "You're not coming into my house like that. There's work to be done." And God is saying to you this evening. Now, I don't make any difference whether you're 7 or 70 or maybe even more. It makes no difference. God says this evening, "You're not coming into my house like that." Now, I can see Mum has done a good job on you today, if you're around, or you've done a good job on yourself, and you're nice and clean, and your best clothes, and you might say, "What are you talking about? I'm not dirty." Well, you see, you're dirty inside. That's the product of sin. And when the Lord Jesus died at the cross of Calvary, he died to save sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the verse goes on, and the last little phrase says, and the Apostle Paul is saying, "Of whom I am chief." And there's another version that I read, and it put it like this, of whom I am a prime example. The Apostle Paul recognized that he needed God's forgiveness. He recognized that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners at enormous and immense and incalculable cost. He died at the cross of Calvary. He gave his own life to save sinful men and women and boys and girls. What does he want you to do? Tonight, the requirement is this, that you acknowledge before God in the quiet of his presence, not to the preacher, but to God. You acknowledge your sinfulness, that your sin will keep you out of God's heaven for all eternity. And I'm sure you know the alternative, eternal judgment in the lake of fire. That's the alternative, the only alternative. There's no in between. By acknowledging your sin, repenting of your sin, recognizing how offensive it is to God, recognizing the cost in his own son upon the cross of Calvary. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Tonight, the invitation comes to you. Will you accept, first of all, that you're a sinner? Secondly, that the Lord Jesus died for you at the cross of Calvary. Thirdly, that you need to repent of your sins, and that means just to turn your back on what you are and what you have been, and to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said some very welcoming words. "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." There's a welcome awaiting you this evening. Trust that with God's help you'll respond to that if you never have before, and trust the Lord Jesus for eternal salvation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We pray. Father, we thank thee again for thy word. We thank thee for the love of a God who could send his own son. For the Lord Jesus, thy Son who was willing to come, the sinless, perfect one who came to die an agonizing death, the death that sinners deserved. He bore this suffering himself. We pray that not a single one in the gospel meeting this evening will miss that great salvation. Take us home later safely, we pray, as we commend us to thee now, giving thanks for bringing us together. In the name of the Lord Jesus.